And we, of course, are with remote viewer Major Ed Dames. And we'll take your phone calls with Ed when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Major Ed Dames. And, of course, we'll take your phone calls final hour as we go. As Ed was saying earlier in the program, he's made preparations. He's getting ready. He's getting ready for the kill shot, and he's doing what he has to do with his family. What do you recommend some people do beyond the money, the gold, stashing cash? How about physical locations? And, you know, a lot of people can't just pick up and move. What do they do?
Well, if they live in the cities, they're screwed.
Well, that's nice.
Mostly. Unless it's some cities, for instance, Oslo, Norway, or Wellington, New Zealand, or places like that, where you have civilized, educated population. And then you're okay. There are a few other cities I know of in the world. But other than that, they're really in trouble. I wish it were not so, but they're in trouble. There's not a lot they can do. It's going to be rough. The only thing that will work for them, it's the most important thing of all. People need people. You need other people. This bunker mentality and all of that, it doesn't work. It works for a while, but in the end, you're going to need other people. So that, if you live in a community or you have a community even in a metropolitan area that's close together, that'll get you through this.
Well, if they know what they're doing, right?
Yeah, if they know what they're doing.
Well, that's the thing. Would you stock up, though, a few weeks on food, water, things like that, just to be on the safe side?
I'd stock up a few months.
A few months.
Or more.
Okay. All right. Good point. To the phones we go. Audrey, Longview, Texas. You're up with Major Ed Dames on Coast to Coast. Hi, Audrey.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was wondering what Mr. Dames thought about remote influencing, if that could help with the kill shot. And also, does he remote view the program ahead of time to know what kind of questions are going to be asked?
He doesn't do that because I don't even know what I'm going to ask sometimes. But let's talk a little bit about the kill shot, Ed, again.
Well, let me just address this remote influencing thing, too. No, remote influencing is that we don't do that, and it's not effective for the most part. But the Chinese are mastering it. So, and again, I talk about this at the end of my book about what we're going to be up against in terms of advanced technologies, and I'm not talking when I use the term technology loosely. In terms of influencing events out there, I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer. And I think that with enough coherent people, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands it would take, that the universe could be affected. But it's not going to happen down here because things are so chaotic and the collective unconscious down here is so chaotic. I'm not going to be hopeful that something like that is going to be effective. So I discount it on this planet at this time.
You had tied the solar kill shot into a shuttle mission, and they're still flying, believe it or not. One may come up in February, which is getting close to this.
We think that very close to the solar shot sequence, a shuttle. We're not sure if it's the present space shuttle anymore. It looks like a space shuttle. Is going to be forced down to the deck, and also there are a couple of sessions that show the space station itself, the International Space Station, coming down. But we don't have enough data on that to be able to say for sure that that's part of this scenario. But a shuttle or shuttle-like craft is coming down, will be forced down, and that's important.
What about an asteroid impact, Ed? Do you see that?
Our viewers over the last 20 years or so, certain viewers working blind. By blind, I mean the viewer doesn't know that they're working a future target because their unconscious is doing all the work, and it has to be blind to be trustable. Have painted a picture of a very large asteroid hitting North America, but it could be as far out as 500 years, and we know it's way, way out there. It's going to happen. But it looks like it's quite a number of years away, maybe 500, I'm guessing.
You think our most immediate problems or pressing issues would be what, in chronological order? Give me about three of them.
Rapid, drastic climate change.
Okay.
Well, first of all, economic collapse for people, for individuals, you and I, is a rapid 2011, a global economic collapse and a collapse of the U.S. economy. Number two, rapid climate change, very rapid climate change, a global pandemic, influenza pandemic. Those are the three big ones. Kill shots out there a couple of years from now.
Okay. All right. Next up, we go to Temecula, California. It's Lou's turn, first time caller. Hi, Lou.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. First time caller. Oh, I can't believe I'm on.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Go ahead.
Thanks, George. Okay, I have a couple of things. I'll try and keep them really quick.
Okay.
So, first, I was kind of unclear about what his answer was about the missile-like thing that we were seeing in California.
Well, I said that my students, my advanced students, tackled that as a project, but I did not monitor the project, and I did not check back in with them to see what the results are. So I'm sorry.
Okay, I was really curious.
If you go to my forums, I teach. It's free for my students. All the advanced, even the fundamentals, are taught in my at learnrv.com in the forums. There, my teacher. That's where I actually teach. Okay. Online, so that you can go right in there and ask them what the results are or see what it is.
Cool. I'll check it out. Okay, so I was also wondering, how people see things, they have premonitions in their dreams?
Mm-hmm.
How would you say that? Is that anywhere near remote view?
No, it's not. And you can't trust them either. For instance, if you have a dream about a battle all that goes that wages all night long, which is about 2 hours or less of REM dreaming and all that, it could be your best friend, your unconscious, your mind trying to tell you that you have pancreatic cancer. It has nothing at all to do with a physical battle, but it's an analog or a metaphor or an allegory to what's going on. But it you don't have accurate access to it. It, moments of revelation sometimes are correct. Don't get on that plane or something else like that. But those occur when you're awake and aware. The dreams, if you have with one exception, if your dreams are heavy duty and they're recurring, then that's probably correct.
What about this? I had a dream where it was very significant. And it was a couple of months before I went a really big transition in my life, and then I ended up very alone. Well, in this dream, I was at an abandoned Civil War fort, and I was at an old Civil War fort that was rumored to be haunted, and we were there, and we saw a Native American, but it was like a ghost of a Native American, and everyone was freaked out and ran, and I woke up, and it was just stood out to me for some reason, and then when I went through that transition, then a couple months later, I met a friend who is a very dear friend of me. And we were talking about, like, ghost experiences and stories, and he actually said that exact story to me. So do you think I could have somehow through my dream viewed what he saw?
Synchronicity. Just check out Carl Jung's book on synchronicity, and that'll help you out.
Do you see the kill shot as the beginning of end times, the apocalypse?
Yes.
Well,
but remember, after that, there's sometime out there beyond our watch is this 1,000-year period of peace and all that. So, it's not a forever thing.
All right, great. Lou, thanks. First-time caller. I like it when first-time callers get in. Michael in Albany, New York, you're on Coast to Coast. Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to ask Mr. Dames. I ordered from time to time some of his programs, and I sometimes am asked something, and I blank out my mind for a second, and instantaneously information flows out that's so descriptive, like you're standing in front of it, right down to a cross-threaded screw, or inside of a building, people's, and so on. And I don't know whether it's psychic or is it something else. I don't know.
No, it's psychic.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to look like that too. We just take that and we structure it. It's a natural thing, and we avail ourselves of that natural function. It's what remote viewing is about.
It's not
altered states though. Altered states are it's a different modality.
That's different. Take us through very quickly, one of your courses. What do you do? How do you do it?
Well, it's difficult to do that because there's no common denominator for what's out there. For instance, if you were to learn ice skating and you had skied before, then an instructor could compare that. You're going to put something on your feet and slide against a frozen surface. Mm-hmm. But in terms of remote viewing, there isn't anything that you can say it's like. So it's very difficult to do that. It's a brand new technique and technology. Everybody does it the same way. Whether you're looking for a stolen nuclear weapon or somebody's missing cat, you go through the same steps each time. So I come to the, you know what? If you look at my first DVD, that walks you right through all the fundamentals, George. Or come to my workshop and my boot camp. And
do people do these things right away, or does it take them time when they're there?
After 2 days, they're rolling. It would be like flight training or anything else like that. In a weekend of instruction, you can learn how to fly a light plane, or you can learn how to tightrope walk or whatever. You just got to have the right coach. That's all.
Have you in your training career stumbled across someone that it just knocked your socks off? You went, this person.
Oh, yeah. Of course I have. And other times, too, much to my chagrin, I know about somebody's wife or husband or brother. I could tell just instinctively, man, they would be a great remote viewer, but they're not interested. So, like I said, there's about 15% of the human population that would be great remote viewers, but they're not interested. Everybody's different.
How many people understand what remote viewing even is? What do you think? I mean, this audience does, but what about out there?
My guess would be around 30,000 people worldwide, I guess.
No, I mean in terms of if you went up to someone on the street.
Oh, it's getting out there. I had the first website in 1992 on remote viewing. Now that's God knows how many. They've heard the word before. I'll probably do some TV this year if I get time, and more people will have a better understanding of what we're talking about. But you can't really understand it until you learn it. It's always it. You have to learn remote viewing to really understand what we're talking about.
Let's go to Pawnee, Oklahoma. It's Byron's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Byron, go ahead.
Yes. Good morning, George. And I was wanting to ask your guest, has he ever studied the Zodiac Killer, or have any information about the Zodiac Killer?
The old Zodiac Killer, Ed.
Not the Zodiac Killer. No, I have not. I've wanted to, but my focus has been on children. So,
who could be dead now? I think
could be, but we never know. And it'd be easy to find out. We can tell if someone's dead or alive in 20 minutes. Confirm it. Whether somebody's dead or alive in about 20 minutes. And then, of course, looking at the location, that would be the target.
I've gone on some dates, Ed, and I figured that you had passed on the date.
Some of my workshops, even the advanced ones, we've tried, we wanted to have a seance, and we couldn't even communicate with the living.
Let's go east of the Rockies. TJ, Albert Lee, Minnesota. You're on with Ed Dames, TJ.
Oh, I'm still laughing over that last comment, Major. Say, I've got a question and a suggestion. A question and a suggestion. The question is, you're stockpiling gold, or you like gold, and you understand the future to some degree, obviously. How about copper, lead, and brass? I'm referring to metal cartridges. You got any of those?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Okay, and my comment is, we've got men that have been on coast to coast, some frequently, some infrequently, and I don't want to predispose your ornithological exam of the birds, but we have four types of deadliest warfare now. We have ionization added to nuclear, biological, and chemical, and Clifford Carnicom's an expert on that. And I helped him become an expert on that, and I'm retired military. And I want you to examine the ionization, which is radical magnetization, and talk about that and keep an open mind to it.
I can't do that, TJ, because I was involved in projects like that, and they're highly classified, so I can't do it.
I was going to add that.
Obviously, you have some things I cannot talk about. Because even though I've been out for 20 years, retired, some of those programs were nascent at that time and now are developed and mature.
That's right.
They are mature.
Thank you for admitting that. God bless.
My pleasure.
All right. As a matter of fact, that's what they're using in Abu Dhabi and quite successfully, and I'm sure they've been testing it for some time to come.
No, I'm talking about the weaponization of the science.
Right. Absolutely. Holly in the state of Washington. Whereabouts are you, Holly?
I am in Index, Washington, on the side of a mountain.
All right.
Yeah. I've had a couple instances where I thought it was a psychic experience. In 1999, I lost my brother-in-law. He was killed in an auto accident, and they said he died of smoke inhalation. But when they told me, and I was very close to him, I saw him, and I saw him screaming. Well, it wasn't until a year ago that the paramedics that arrived there said he did not die from smoke. He died screaming.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, there was another experience where for the last year I've been getting a ride to physician appointments, and the receptionist, she'll answer me, and I keep thinking, I have to ask somebody what she looks like because I picture her in my head. And so about 2 weeks ago, I talked to the gal that picked me up, and I said, do you know her? Have you seen her? And I said, I just have to get this off my chest. And I described her to a T, the length of her fingers, her fingernail polish, her jewelry, her facial expression, her age. Everything was just right on. And I was wondering if that might be, you know, remote viewing.
Yeah, you're one of the 15 percenters I'm talking about.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's remote viewing and not a psychic.
But you have to be okay. Trained in order to be consistent and be on target every time. We just do this as a matter of course. You have moments of inspiration and moments where you're, you know, perfectly psychic. But we do it for a living. When we turn people like you into professionals, then we have a very saleable product.
And when you are remote viewing, do you have to get into a mode to do it, or
negative.
Does it just happen? I mean, could you
negative.
Be in your car and it just hits you?
No, we actually, in our brain state, our electrical state, is what we call high theta. There's very little energy in the side lobes and the peaks and the other electrical bands. Okay, but it only takes, there's no preparation that's required. You don't have to warm down or cool down, you know, you do anything you want. Because the protocols themselves take you into that state in about 4 minutes. In about 4 minutes, you're there. Because the protocols themselves take you there.
How do you know when you're out of it?
I'm sorry?
How do you know when you're out of that remote viewing?
Oh, it would be the analogy would be, how do you know when you've stopped playing the piano? Well, when the music stops, because you're in control you're in control of the structure. You're moving along. It's a flowchart operation, point by point by point by point. It's all there's no thinking involved. You know exactly what to do next because you've got a checklist.
Tell Me What You Think is the name of Ed Dame's book with Joel Newman, and tell me a little bit about your website, learnrv.com. Do you still have that one or another one?
Learnrv.com is the one stop shopping center for everything you want to know about remote viewing and background teaching, advanced techniques, and all of that. It's all there.
And you have...
If you want to order online, you can do that too. I can give you an order line, but the website is very, very extensive.
Okay, that's good. Are you glad you've gone down this path, Ed?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have no regrets. There are things I would have liked to have done. I have other interests in my life that would have been neat, but there would have always been something missing. And this filled me up.
All right. We'll be back with final phone calls with Major Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM. Well, as we roll along into Wednesday, two special guests for you on our next Coast to Coast show. Linda Sherman, as we talk about astrology and her predictions, and Gerald Celente as he looks with his trends into the future. Thursday, Stephen Quayle joins us, followed by open lines on Friday right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. We're with Major Ed Dames, and we'll take your phone calls in a moment. Ed, when you finally retired, why'd you retire? Why didn't you stay in there forever?
I write about that in my book. It was very, very personal thing.
Mm-hmm.
Some incident happened during the first Gulf War, and I said, that's it. I'm
You were done.
Yeah, and I write about that in the book. By the way, your upcoming guest, Gerald Celente, I really like him. I really like the way he tells it like it is. I'm a big fan of his.
He might be a remote viewer. I'm not sure.
No, he's a good analyst. But
there's an example. What if you took a guy like Gerald Celente and taught him remote viewing? What would happen?
Oh, that would be tough because he's very opinionated. He's an analyst. He needs closure and those kind of things. And those are the people. He's like myself, the way I was before I learned remote viewing. It's a fight because you have to accept this part of you, your higher mind, instead of your lower thinking, egoic mind. You have to accept that your higher mind is smarter than you. And that's for people like myself with big egos. That's hard to do.
You don't have a big ego, Ed, do you?
Once in a while, yeah. It comes out once in a while.
Well, you're an authority figure. I mean, I'll give you that. I mean, I bet you're just like a toughie in your remote viewing courses.
Oh, I'm arrogant. I'm a flaming, you know what?
I bet people hate you for the moment, don't they? Then they like you later.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
And they go on. I encourage them to go on and become teachers themselves. And many over the years in Germany, my German students many years ago, and there's some good German schools now, and many of my really prized team members have become trainers themselves, so I'm very proud of them.
Well, you've done a good job with a lot of people. And
like I say, that's the one thing of responsibility. I feel like I've told the public, you know, what's coming. I did my job, made the donuts, but I still have this responsibility of training. That's, you know, I don't think I can walk away from that. I don't think
How do you answer the criticism of you're scaring us?
Well, I was told that by generals and commanders and in the White House, too. People don't like to hear ask Gerald Celente. He'll tell you. People don't like to hear the truth. They'd rather have their head in the sands. But we're going to wake up here in this country in 2011, especially in the summer, and the hammer will have dropped. And you'll wake up one day, and when it starts collapsing, this house of cards that started collapsing already, it's going to go down really, really fast. And then it's going to be Shockville. So I'm telling people now, get ready. Get ready.
All right, by the way, thanks to so many people. Steve from Tampa, Florida. Julio from Hartford, Connecticut. Howard from Juneau, Alaska. Chris from Vancouver, British Columbia. Justin from Ennis, Montana. They all have the name of the Marine Sergeant. The one we were talking about, R. Lee Ermey. But you didn't know that, did you?
No.
You know who I'm talking about.
I haven't watched television since I was 16. So if there's anything on TV, then I don't know about it.
You don't know did you see the movie Full Metal Jacket? This is the Marine who gets shot.
Oh, yeah,
he's the drill instructor.
Yeah,
screams
and he gets shot in a latrine.
Yeah, exactly. That's him. And he's doing Geico commercials.
Is he really?
He's everywhere. Let's go to Danny in Covina, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Danny, go ahead.
Hey, Ed. Hey, George. I'll just make it direct. I want to mention Dr. Frank Mead's project on teleportation on physics, the historical perspective. I know the Russian termed psychotronics and the Chinese children documented by Nature magazine. But I wanted to talk about the validation of full-body psychokinetics compared to validations made by remote viewers. What you have as an analogy for this. And are the temporal geographic validations important documentations of the individual who have been to places through natural pathways? And do you see a coming together or a psychokinetic gathering of individuals around the world as an influential source of political or a political course in the future?
No, it's too far ahead. Right now, it's just the psychotronics, by the way, was a Czech term, a former Czech Republic. It's a Czech term. They were clients, contractors for the erstwhile Soviet Union on the project. Right now, it's all about weaponization. The Chinese will be the first ones to be able to influence electronics and servo mechanisms at a distance. And so that's what it's all about. They'll win. They're the winners already.
Major, are 10 remote viewers better than one working together?
There's things that happen with it. Well, as a project manager, as a remote viewer project manager, you don't want to work with more than six because that's information overload. You don't need more than six trained remote viewers for any project, too.
Okay.
So that's information overload. But there's a certain dynamic that happens when you have a team of remote viewers. There's a division of labor at the unconscious level. So, yes, you're going to get a consistent replication from one viewer to the next when they describe a target, but you're also going to get, because of this division of labor, a lot more detail than you. In other words, you're not going to have just 10 of the same summaries, data summaries. You'll have 10 summaries where one viewer will describe details of, let's say, a particular mechanism over that's in this corner of the room, and another viewer, instead of describing the same mechanism, will, and there's an agreement at the unconscious level, it's worked out, will describe the person that's using the mechanism. You get the picture.
Let's go to Alberta, Canada now. Gene's with us on the international line. Gene, you're with Major Dames. Go ahead.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi there. Hi, I'm kind of interested in what's happening. Is Canada kind of going to have the same fate as the United States since we're supposed to?
Nope. Stay in Alberta, Gene. Don't move.
Yeah, that is my next question. A good place to live?
You bet.
Excellent.
You're lucky. That's all I can say. I wish.
Why doesn't Canada get pulled in on this? Thanks, Gene.
It's that latitude, that particular latitude around the globe, that particular latitude north in 30.
Is it latitude 40? And maybe it's latitude and attitude?
Yeah, actually, you're right too. But yes, that they're in good shape. They're in good shape. I've done a lot of individual contracts for Canadians and Americans that were people looking for sanctuary locations, and man. Folks in Alberta are really lucky. That's all I can say.
Let's go to Chewy now, listening on our number one rated station, KLBJ in Austin, Texas, the home of Alex Jones. Hi, Chewy.
Hi. Major, it's an honor. Ni hao.
Hello.
I read your book. I have your starter kit. George, first time, long time. It's an honor. Real quickly, sir. JFK, Art of the Covenant. You said there was a gargoyle guarding the Art of the Covenant for a while. Is a gargoyle the same thing as a chupacabra?
No. In the book, when I say that the viewers were describing something that looked like a gargoyle, we didn't mean that because we didn't know what they were. The next best thing, if you don't have in remote viewing, when you go out and grab a pattern of information and you come back, it's the pattern. There are no words. In the matrix, you have to come back and match that in a left brain sense to a memory. And if you've never experienced this particular thing that you're perceiving, children really have a difficult time in this regard. If you've never experienced something like that, it's not in your lexicon, your dictionary. Then the next best thing comes out. Well, it's like, you know, a gargoyle, but they weren't gargoyles.
Well, you know, that's right. It could be like. A gargoyle, indeed. Chewy, thanks for your call. Another call from Austin, Texas. It's Nicole. Hey, Nicole, go ahead.
Hello. I have a question. I'm a first-time caller. I'm so glad to be on here with y'all. But I've always been able to see things that are going to happen and predict things throughout my life. And a couple years ago, I had a surgery, and after that, I was able to see. And when I go into doing genealogy or when I go into trying to help other people, I end up having, I'm able to see what's going to happen, and I'm able to tell them things that are going to happen in their life.
So you're a psychic.
So I don't really like to consider that.
Well, you are. I'll tell you, point blank, you are, yeah.
Well, thank you. And I was able to tell my grandmother that she'd be passing away in 2 years and that her brother was going to be passing. My question is it always a good thing to tell the people what you're actually seeing?
It's a very, very good question. I've run into, in my career, doing a lot of medical cases where, in fact, as some of the listeners know, I've trained some of the world's leading doctors. They're my students, and I ask them to bring intractable cases to my course as practicum. When you remote view somebody's malady and all of a sudden you find out that they have an incurable disease and they're going to die, what do you tell them? It is a difficult situation to be in. And do you
are you responsible morally and ethically to tell them the truth or whatever? Honestly, I haven't figured that out yet, so I can't answer your question. I think everybody has to decide that for themselves. I don't think I would tell my grandmother that they're going to die in 2 years, but that's your choice.
Let's take as many calls as we can as we get close to the end here. Truck driving in Ohio, it's Gary's turn. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, George, I just wanted to say thanks, and I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you, Gary.
I just wanted to mention a couple of dreams I've had. I've been dying to tell somebody about this. At one point, about probably 4 months before Hurricane Katrina had happened, I was laying in bed, and I dreamed that me and my wife were homeless in New Orleans, and we'd never been there. And everybody was homeless. And I told my wife in the dream, I was like, hang on. I said, the news people are going to be here, and my parents will see us. And I woke up, you know, and like later on, bam, that happened. Everybody in New Orleans was homeless and stuff, and the news was all over it.
Yeah, that's bleed through. As when big events start to happen, people have dreams. Especially, in fact, very soon people will start to have dreams about the sun, because that's your unconscious is your best friend. Its job, its primary job, is to keep you alive so you can experience your sojourn down here in terra firma. Or something like that. But its job is to keep you alive. So lots of people are going to start having dreams. I think many years ago, Chet Snow wrote a book called Mass Dreams of the Future. So it's akin to that kind of thing.
Ed, before we take final calls, let's do a quick review of what you see over the next few years. Go ahead.
Economic collapse, the implosion of the Western financial system in 2011. Gold will go way up to $2,000 and then beyond that in 2012. Influenza pandemic, the use of a nuclear weapon on the Korean Peninsula on the part of the North Koreans, and vast climate change that will result in a lot of crop failure. So price of food will go way up and people will starve. And then in around 2013, no later, the sun will start to do very dangerous things and affect a lot of life on Earth.
You know, in that, I think you are absolutely right on. I feel it myself.
Scientists, solar physicists are chewing their nails because they feel something's coming, and they've been trying to warn us. They've been alerting us to what might happen. So you just read the news, and that you'll get an idea of what to expect.
Next up, we go to Missoula, Montana. Dina. Hey, good morning, Dina. Go ahead.
Happy New Year to both of you.
You too.
I'm calling to ask a couple questions, and one was the kill shot thing. I think I missed part of it, or I didn't understand it.
It's the sun about to go on a rampage, produce massive solar flares and X-ray activity that in a year or so will begin to drastically affect life on Earth.
I thought it was, when you said it, same time you said something about the space shuttle, so I thought you said that.
No, we were looking at trying to pin down the point in time when it would happen, and it looks like one of the shuttles or shuttle-like craft at a time when one will be forced down, it seems like it'll be close to that event.
Oh. Will it be hit by it?
Hit by what?
The solar
flare.
The
solar blast.
The Earth will take it in the shorts for many years. Many people will die.
You know, when the Columbia went down,
yeah,
a lot of people thought that was the period of the kill shot, Ed, I think.
No, way before.
Was it?
Yeah, way before.
I wanted to also ask about the missile thing that went off on the west coast.
Off of California?
LA.
Sure. Go ahead, Dina.
You know, Edgar Cayce gave a reading years ago that these things would start happening along the east and west coast. My father, during the war after, before Vietnam, the
Korean War.
Korean War, thank you, was in the military, in the Navy. He had done World War II and that. And he was responsible for being part of the submarines going along the West Coast and dropping in missile silos. Was that what it went off? One of our missile silos either went off accidentally or on purpose.
No, I have no idea what this is. You'll have to go into my forums and talk to my advanced students who ran the project. I think they finished it, and see what they came up with. I just haven't had time to look.
Well, Edgar Cayce said that would start happening.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a missile too, Dina.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks.
That was my question. So thank you for taking my call.
Sure great. Thing. Okay. Absolutely. Bye. And again, we're talking with Major Ed Dames. His website, learnrv.com. His new book, which came out in November of 2010, Tell Me What You Think, co-written with Joel Newman.
Tell me what you see.
That's right. Tell me what you see. Did I just say written?
No, you said think, and we're not allowed to think.
That's right. Tell me what you see with Joel Newman, who's still on the mend, I guess, right?
He's recovering from working with me.
Well, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Cato in Syracuse, New York. Go ahead, Cato.
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to talk to you, George.
Thanks.
And I've been following Mr. Dames for quite some time. Remote viewing, Ed, are you aware that remote viewing is on the track to teleportation?
No, not aware of that. Do you mean physical teleportation or apportation, the kind of things that the Chinese are doing or have been doing since the 60s
in the laboratory? Teleportation.
Physical?
Physical. Yeah.
There's two types of teleport. Actually, there's three types of teleportation that I'm aware of. And remote viewing is tangentially connected with only one.
Okay. Physical teleportation has been done, and it not only has physical teleportation been done, but it's also been done going to a place in the past. In fact, the project was sent to a castle in Barcelona.
Nope, not aware of it.
I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Ed, by the way, I've gotten tons of fast blasts and emails from people who are saying they've never heard you more human.
Well, you know, you got to drop those facades sometime. And, you know, life is short. So, and I have a beautiful fiance who's made me more human than I've ever been before. So
I have picked that up just talking to you over the last couple of years myself. You take care, Eddie. Let's stay in touch, my friend, all right?
Okay, try to show up in my workshop in Reno. A happy new year.
Okay, let's talk about that. Send me an email. For Dave Budensky, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Tim Banal helping out tonight, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.